Episode 346, February 12th, 2018.
This episode is brought to you by Playapod, the best cross-platform podcast app for iOS and Android. Just visit playapod.com and download it for free.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is the Rob and Joe Show.
The Dave Chappelle and Louis C.K. of Fire Hall Comedy.
The Rob and Joe Show.
This is the racist Rob and racist Joe Show.
Some of their best friends are black.
The Rob and Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to the Rob and Joe Show.
Come on, everybody, let's get to the brainstorming.
I worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe Show.
The Rob and Joe Show.
Now on with the countdown.
With a combined 73 firings, if you count marriages in the Baltimore Comedy Factory, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
It's a week later, and I'm still fighting with this malaria, Joe.
Well, you went to the show down in Winchester. You seem to be doing okay.
I was tired. It definitely, the next day, I took a nap. I mean, it was because I had a show Friday night, and then those two shows in Winchester. So that was the only thing I'd really done all week.
You know, we got a hotel down there. You know what a hotel costs in Winchester?
Probably $150 bucks, maybe.
$90.
Yeah, $90.
Nice.
It's definitely worth it to stay down there. So,
well, especially where the club is nice. That I mean, I don't know how much you've ever walked around down there.
No, I walked that whole strip. Yeah. It's nice. But we went to the Holiday Inn Express is where we stayed. Robbie, you stayed there too?
I was mistaken. I actually stayed at the Holiday Inn, not the Holiday Inn Express.
Ooh.
I figured because here's the God, Robbie. So he stayed at the Holiday Inn. But he said, hey, I'll see you guys at breakfast. What time did Robbie want to meet us for breakfast?
7 a.m.
6:30.
Jeez.
So you were exaggerating for effect,
yes.
And it was earlier than that. So right around 6:30, Robbie sent us a picture of his breakfast. And what was that, steak and eggs, Robbie?
And it was really good.
So
is that free?
Yes, it was complimentary.
Wow.
You had complimentary steak and eggs where you stayed?
Yeah, $20 meal. It was all comp.
Now, was that a Robbie hookup from complaining,
yeah,
or that's just a regular thing?
Does everybody get that?
Well, I booked it on Orbitz, and that was part of the deal.
All right.
I got to remember that. So we didn't have that, but, you know, we didn't know that Robbie had lied about where he was staying. So I'm just kidding. No, we didn't know Rob. We thought Robbie was staying in the same hotel. So when I woke up, I saw a picture of this delicious steak and eggs, and I was like, fuck yeah. And I went down there, and it was Tony the Tiger in a bagel. He was dumb.
Yeah, they have a Cracker Barrel in Winchester.
They do.
Well, I mean, Robbie's not going to go to Cracker Barrel knowing that his free steak and eggs are down there. But
I guess
it was free food. We, you know, we had yogurt. And yeah, we're going to eat for free if it's there. They had eggs and bacon.
I'm going to Cracker Barrel. Spend $12 and get 18 items.
Well, anyway, we're doing that again. The next time we go there, we do two shows are sold out. We earn it. You spend $90 and we stay down there.
What is the business expense, technically?
That's true. I didn't take it as a business expense, but I will remember that for now. Yeah.
Well, the next time we're there is in June 16th, so the weather should be nice. And yeah,
won't be sick.
Well, yeah, let's hope not. Yeah. But thank you, Brightbox. Two sold out shows. We actually had people there that had already seen that exact show, the Newly Dead Game, when they still came back. I don't know if that was on purpose or by accident, but we took their money.
Well, what this lady said to me, she goes, now, the next show, will this be this show again? And I go, no, we'll never do this show again this year. She goes, oh, because this is the same show we saw last year. I go, well, sorry about that. And it ended up, there's a hilarious picture of Eric with this older couple, and the guy looks like, you know, Ichabod Crane or whatever. He looks surly, and it's the same guy.
Yeah.
I asked him to play a role. Because he was wearing this, like, Cosby sweater, and he looked like a funny guy to do it.
Yeah.
And I immediately regretted it because he had a hearing aid. And I saw that, and I'm like, I fucked up.
You have Gramps in the show.
But he was trying to finish a conversation, so I walked away from him and went to another guy who also looked kind of odd. Not odd, but somebody that Justin could have fun with.
Yeah.
And he said, no, I don't want to do it.
Ah.
Well, while I was waiting for that guy to come talk to me, the old guy with the hearing aid come up and goes, you needed to talk to me? And I go, well, now I found somebody else. And then that guy rejected me. So I went back to the hearing aid guy, and then I told the hearing aid guy, and he rejected me.
He's very friendly.
Yeah. So then I went to the third guy, which was the guy with the vest. Remember, he had a sweater vest
yes.
on and the green sleeves. And so I nailed it with my third
yeah,
attempt.
And Justin rewarded him by agreeing to be on the show by calling him a pedophile for 5 minutes. He looks like he touches the kids. He's the principal of the school. Yes. Thank you. I'm sure he loved that.
You had a crazy show yourself the day before. Now, I know what you made at the murder mystery. Did you make a lot of money at this show that you did on Friday?
I didn't make if you broke it down per show for what we made at the murder mystery.
So that's a good weekend for you.
Yeah, yeah. This is a gig at the Crofton Country Club that I had this guy I know, Terrence, used to do shows together back at the old Riot Act in D.C.
Wow, it's a long time ago.
Yeah, and he just Facebook messaged me. And to be honest, because it's a country club gig and it's more for their members, you know, he hadn't posted any flyers about it. So I almost thought it wasn't even happening anymore, which I was somewhat okay with because I wasn't feeling well. But then somebody had tagged me on Twitter or on Instagram with a photo from their site. I go, oh, I guess it's happening. And but it was decent money. So that was okay. And it's close to my house. So, and then I find out, it's funny, in the same day I found out that I was going to be able to open for Tiffany Haddish again at some of her theater shows coming up. And I would be headlining this show in Crofton, and my feature would be who is considered the worst comic in Baltimore in the last 15 years, Tom Myers.
Well, what was interesting is I saw that Tom was going to be on the show, and I saw you were going to be on the show, but there was another very good comic that was supposed to be on the show. And I'm like, well, it's hilarious that Tom's on this show, but the audience is going to see a really good show because they're going to see you and they're going to see Adam Dodd. But then Adam Dodd bailed. Am I right about that?
Yes, he did.
So then what I had heard is there's a guy, his name is Chris Lohman, who, I mean, he's probably done comedy 4 times, and he told me, hey, I'm on that show. So I thought that it was going to be 10 minutes of this guy who has 4 minutes worth of material,
yeah,
maybe, Tom Myers, who has 0 minutes worth of material, and then you. And I thought for 35 minutes they were going to see these two, and then you were going to walk on stage. And I couldn't stop. I literally couldn't stop laughing. Thinking about it, I called Tommy. I called Justin. I was very, very excited, and I was asking you for updates. Before you talk about how that went, you sent a video from that night, and I noticed somebody in the crowd was my next-door neighbor when I used to be married, which that would have been, okay, well, you wouldn't have known my neighbor, but you did. We watched the Auburn-Oregon National Championship in their garage.
Yes.
And you didn't remember.
Yeah,
she was sitting
4 hours right, together.
Right by the stage. I wonder if she remembered you.
You know, I didn't. Nobody's came up to me and said anything about that, so.
I'm wondering if the husband was there. Anyway, I don't know that I'll ever see her again to ask her. Although, you know what?
Maybe
My son works for him. He owns the Lido's in Crofton.
Well, we might be back there to do a murder mystery. So.
Might. We will be back there to do a murder mystery.
Looking like that, yes. So, this was a show where, you know, you don't know what to expect because you're in some country club. You don't know if people are excited about it, if they care to be there. You don't know. I don't know if I'm going to lose my voice or not, so that's on my plate. So I get there, and it's packed. So I'm like, okay, well, that's good. People are drinking. They appear to be in a festive mood.
You said there was 150 people there, right?
Yeah. No,
it's a good crowd.
It's a good crowd. It's a nice-looking place. The setup is good. This is the stage. It's set up well. He had a professional sound system in there, so the sound was good. So there's the MC, then there's this guy doing a guest spot I don't know, then there's this other guy doing like a mini feature set who I sort of know but don't really know his jokes. Then there's this Loman guy doing time. Then there's Tom Meyer. So I'm like, this is okay. This is a bit much. But the show starts off like the first guy's doing really well, and I'm like, okay, Terrence is doing great. They're into it. The guest spot does well. And then at one point, some guy called this other guy gay, that they're just messing with each other in the crowd. And then somebody said, what's he do for a living? He sells meat. So there's this whole big long thing about him selling meat and being gay, and he works for Boar's Head. But so this kept becoming a thing. Like, it's Terrence couldn't get off stage because he kept talking about this. And it's like 45 minutes in, there's still two more comics than me. And I'm like, okay, this is now I feel like the show, which was okay, this could really work. Now it could be getting away, A, because they're going to get rowdy and take over. And by the time I get up there, who knows what's going to be. So the Asian guy goes up there, who I don't know that well, but, you know, he just basically just, can you name any Asian superheroes? People are just yelling out Jackie Chan and people, right? So that goes on for like 10 minutes.
Hong Kong Phooey.
Right. And
that was for Robbie.
And then the this trivia guy gets up there, this guy Chris, who does trivia there, and he goes up and just flies down half the way.
That's the guy I know.
Right, that's the guy you know.
Yeah.
And nobody says anything, and I'm just, you know, I have the profile, I'm at the side angle, I got a good shot at it. And he goes up and, you know, he just doesn't really do comedy, so all his jokes are really just premises.
Like, give me an example.
Like, you know, you never hear about Jesus between ages 15 and 30. I want to read that in the Bible. I'm sure he was doing cool things. Okay, like what?
Going to his prom.
Right? Yeah.
He's hitting puberty. He's got a nudie magazine under his mattress.
Right, but no, it didn't do any of that. Yeah. And he referred to his baby as a 9-month-year-old, which I thought was an interesting term.
Well, people are like, all right, that's interesting.
That, yeah, so it's, you know, he doesn't do that well, but it's fine. So now Tom is in the back. Tom has, oh, by the way, I get there, and Tom has two CDs for sale and a download card.
They're two separate. They're three individual records.
Exactly.
Right.
And he, I take a picture of it immediately. He knows that I'm there just to shit
on him. Yes. Right.
Why would I be taking a picture of this? I immediately text it to you guys. Justin's like, I want one of each. So I buy these things. Tom now is in the back. I go back there because I'm going to go to the bathroom, and I don't want to be that close to the stage the whole time because I want to get back and sort of really watch the show.
Right.
And Tom is in the back just pacing. Like,
he's nervous.
Yeah, very nervous. And so I hear some woman that works there goes, you look nervous. Are you going to be okay? And I'm
What'd he say?
He goes, nah, I'm fine. By the way, everyone is doing really well at this point. So this is, your nerves
should
have been relieved.
Yeah, to get on stage. Yes.
So he goes up, and now I basically just put my cell phone up and lean it up against the glass and hit record video. And he knows, he can see that I'm doing that. And because this guy Chris is basically a newbie, Tom is introduced and appears to have, like, he's a real comic. He's got CDs.
They think, yes, they think they're about to see something good.
Yes, they think he's the guy saving the show now.
Right.
So in the first couple minutes, it's getting some laughs. And then you can gradually see as they figure out, wait a minute, this guy doesn't have any jokes. And so I record for a while, but nothing really crazy happens. And then I stop, and then he gets heckled. I go, I got to start recording again. So he tells a joke. Basically, I don't even understand. The joke is, I follow the Baltimore police on Twitter.
Yes.
But I mean, you know, they don't, instead of tweeting about crimes, why don't you solve them? Well, okay. Well, like if they stopped tweeting, they would just, there'd be no murders. Okay.
So yes, by the way, they're tweeting, hey, there's a stabbing in this area.
Right.
Maybe there'll be traffic. Maybe there'll be an investigation. Okay, get it. But I got it. He believes that the Baltimore City Police Department, instead of going out and solving these crimes, they're just tweeting that they occurred. Okay, right. Got it.
And then the punchlines are, you know, two people got stabbed tonight. LOL. You know, there's armed robbery. You know,
sad
hashtag,
face.
Whatever. Yeah. And then he does these three punchlines or whatever. And some guy yells, is that a joke?
Wait, was it you?
No. So then he starts to try to go back at him. He looks at me. He sees that I'm recording. He goes, oh, you're probably loving this, Rob. And I'm like, don't involve me, okay? So then he goes back, and it's just...
I heard him say, I'm going to give that guy your appetizer and give that guy his appetizer. I didn't understand that. What was that?
What had happened was, is that guy that had heckled him just then had heckled him earlier, and he, you know, basically said, go fuck yourself or something. And then he goes, you know, I'll apologize, sir. I'll buy you an appetizer. And then when I started heckling or recording again, some other guy had heckled him.
And he was giving that guy his appetizer. Got
right,
it. Okay,
right.
Got it.
So Tom, you know, it's obvious at this point that, you know, that they realize now he's got nothing. So he finally gets off, and then Terrence, by the way, I'm okay with this because I'm going to go up there. I'm going to shit on Tom.
Right.
I'm going to be the hero. So I go to, he goes, Terrence goes, I'm going to get the crowd back up. I says, no, just bring him right up. It's good. He goes, no, I'll get him back up and I'll let him go to the bathroom.
Will you insist? No, please don't do this.
So he goes up, bathroom break. So now they're walking around.
Oh,
now I'm thinking, by the way, we're an hour and 30 into the show.
The show's over.
Yeah, they could just decide to wherever they land and just stay there. So I'm like, this could be bad for me now because now I can't save the show if people are scattered around. It's confusing. So about 10 minutes later, I go up and then I just start shitting on Tom. And they're like, yeah, we're with you.
Yeah,
right?
Fuck this guy.
So I mentioned this on the podcast once and I want to try to make it into some sort of a joke, and I figure because it's the Winter Olympics, there's the tie-in, and it's that I have a theory about comedy. If it's going bad and it starts going really bad, it becomes interesting again, just like figure skating. The girl falls, she feels bad, she falls again, you feel horrible, she falls a third time, now this is interesting, she falls five, six, seven times, it's now the greatest thing you've ever seen. It's now your greatest figure skating watching experience of your life is this girl falling every single time. And I said, so I just tied Tom to that. I was like,
so all you need in order for this joke to work is to work with Tom Myers every
exactly.
time.
Exactly. So I was like Tom, he was bombing. It was awkward. But then you're like, could he bomb anymore? Yes, he can. Could it get any worse? Yes, it could. And it became interesting again. They're like, yes, it did. So it's that he sort of, you know, helped me tell that joke. So I ended up having a really good set, you know, being the hero. I'm saving the show. And afterwards, Tom was like, yeah, I'm sorry about that. I'm like, Tom, I did great. You actually helped me. You don't need to be apologizing. So thank you, Tom Myers. I'd like you to open for me every show now.
So Robbie just typed in chat, I think I heard Joe's washing machine. He makes me fucking crazy. My washing machine is not on.
What was that dig sound?
That was Rob's computer. I don't know what it
sorry.
Was. Anyway, back to what I was going
to
say.
So after the show, I mean, the owner comes up to me. He says, great. Because by the way, I pitched the murder mystery in the middle of my set. And now they're all excited about it. The owner comes up to me. He gives me his card. He's former Secret Service agent.
Oh, and you told him that... I think I might... What's the guy's first name?
Bill.
Oh, I don't know.
I gave you his card. I
actually
right
knew a former Secret Service agent who...
The other side says...
No, that's not the guy. I don't think it is. Anyway, I actually stole that joke that you just told... When I just did Quality Time, we talked about Rocky IV.
Right.
And we were laughing about the idea that the communists, because Rocky was taking such a beating that now they were turning into capitalists. They were abandoning communism because Rocky could just get the shit beat out of them. And I was like, well, that's actually, there is some truth to that. If somebody falls down the stairs, like, oh man, but it did the same thing. But if they just keep falling and falling and falling, I go, eventually they become communists. But I mean, the premise is, I mean, it's true what you're saying. Not true about Rocky. They would not.
Right.
You don't convert to your other. But it is 100% true. And by the way, that would be true if we were watching a fight, and there was a guy, because in Rocky IV, he gets every punch he gets hit with is a roundhouse. Every punch, and he gets hit 100 times.
Yeah.
With roundhouses from a guy that outweighs him by 100 pounds and has 7 inches on him.
Yeah, one of those should be enough to end it.
Well, that's sort of the other thing. I'm not getting into that, but there is no punch that occurred that wouldn't stop a fight.
Right, yeah.
But if you did see somebody getting beaten like that, keep getting up, and then they're in the 15th round, which they don't even do anymore, you would start rooting for that
Absolutely.
Person.
Absolutely.
So that there is some reality to that.
Yes.
I don't know if you'd start rooting for North Korea if you're watching the Olympics, which is the same idea here because it's in the height of the Cold War. But other than that, yes, the people like that type of failure.
So the show ends and Terrence gets up, the MC, and I had brought nothing to sell. He goes, Rob, you sell anything? Keep in mind, I just crushed. I go, no, I got business cards. I said, but Tom's selling three things. And the whole crowd just starts laughing again. So I hear my mom says I'm still shitting on Tom.
It's still crushing.
Right. Then that guy started heckling him again. So now he's going back and forth. The show's over, and he's still in a heckling battle. But Man. Thank you. Thank you, Tom. It was a pleasure.
Aren't you glad you didn't bring your download cards that day?
I really am. I should have brought some T-shirts or something.
The funny thing is I was sitting there thinking, what's the funniest thing that could happen? And of course, the funniest thing that could happen is Tom crushes and you can't follow him,
yes,
and then you bomb. That would be the funniest thing. But really, in your eyes, this is the best scenario. You don't want him to do well. It's better for him to bomb.
Yeah.
Except for the length of the show.
Yeah. But in the end of the day, it didn't matter. But, you know, I didn't know that until...
Yeah, until it happened.
Yeah. Well, then you, because you know this guy, Chris, the trivia guy.
Mm-hmm.
He texted you and asked you.
That's correct. Yeah. He said, how did Rob say I did? And I said, he said you did horrible. Then I screenshotted it and I sent it to Rob, which is very Robbie-esque. That's a Robbie thing to do. Just to, in order to make someone laugh, you just rip someone's soul out.
And I felt bad because they came out to me. His wife was there, her fiance. And they're like, yeah, we watched you on Heart of the City. You were so great. It's great. And now here I am.
Yeah. Now, in full disclosure, afterwards, I said, just kidding. He said you did well. But I deleted that part out so I could just send that screenshot because I knew all the people on the text chain would really enjoy that.
Maybe we can get him to do comedy on our show.
Actually, I just went to trivia night with him. I'm not with him, but the trivia night that he does. And he asked, like, I don't want to exaggerate, 3 times to be on this podcast.
All right.
Now, I don't know what he would do.
No, I have no... Do trivia?
Maybe he could tell some of his hilarious jokes.
Maybe he can. I feel bad because that guy on Twitter asked me to look at his comedy, and I said, yes, it's been like 2 months. I haven't watched the video yet.
I hate when people ask me to do that.
Well, I could have just said no. I apologize. I'll find that and I'll look.
Whose trivia?
No, whose comedy?
You mean the Chris?
No. Some guy on Twitter. I forget his name.
And he said,
he's
watch
a fan of me and the show.
Of this show?
I believe he's a fan of anything Rob Mayer.
What about me? Doesn't like me?
I don't know. Maybe he likes
you. Fuck this guy.
You're right. Okay. I'm sure we'll have you. Where's Jeff Hancock's video? It's been 6 months now. What's taking so long?
Was he the guy who he said, hey, I want to try stand up? Will you? He did want to do a Dr. Gill, right? Jeff did?
Yeah.
Was he the one? There was another person that did that too, right? Just Jeff?
I think
there's somebody else, Robbie, who wanted us to evaluate. Who is that?
It was recently, and I can't remember.
That's the guy I'm talking about.
It must be the guy he's talking about, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, Jeff, we've given you plenty of time.
This guy is now our new Jeff Hancock, whoever this Twitter guy is.
All right, you've been bumped. We're going to bump this guy up. Let's take a break. Rob and Joe should be right back.
Hi, it's Justin Schlegel, radio personality, comedian, actor, Tybo master, and home healthcare worker. I want to tell you about yet another hilarious live interactive whodunit from Die Laughing Productions called Smooth Criminal. In this one, I play Billy, manager of the world's greatest Michael Jackson tribute band, the Smooth Criminals. I'm in pursuit of a new lead singer, but my mission is derailed by a murder. Now, I must solve the crime myself in order to salvage the band, and you can help. Please join me and our cast of regulars to experience the laughter and insanity. Smooth Criminal, a murder mystery musical tribute.
Debuting March 20th at Ram's Head on stage in Annapolis. For upcoming show dates and more info, please visit DieLaughingProductions.com.
Now, back to the Rob and Joe Show.
Can I give you some hilarious names in chat?
Please do.
You got Apple Salsa. That's from Scott Apple and the Salsa Dancing.
Also sounds delicious.
You have Gramps Prom King.
Yes.
From when he was on the show and was asked to the prom. You have Jim Amato, Gramps. Mm-hmm. You have Rooting for Malaria.
Okay.
That's somebody
who's helping. That's the second time we've seen that. It's Captain Cupcake.
Got to be Captain Cupcake.
And then we have Super Spleen Guy, which, of course, is referenced to Tommy not having a spleen.
Yeah.
Nothing else very, very funny. There's people's actual names, Jim Amato.
So I have a theory about Gramps. You know, look, we've talked about it a lot, about how he gets these women to send him pictures and text him and ask him out and proposition him and things. And I think part of it is a numbers game. I mean, he's been doing this for 40 years, so there's going to be some hits.
Volume, right.
But I think the real crux of it is that I think that the women that he's talking to, they never have a situation in their life and in their environment where someone talks to them like Gramps does, who isn't trying to have sex. Like, there isn't any playful...
They realize that Gramps isn't trying to have sex with them because...
No. I think the opposite. I think...
They think Gramps is trying to have sex with them?
Yes, because every time a guy talks like that to them...
I see what you're saying.
That's what he's trying to do. He's not trying to be funny and silly and coy and flirtatious. He's trying to have sex.
Yeah, okay, but if... okay. Let's say that's the case. That would make you understand why it's misinterpreted. But, you know, if I walk up to a girl and say, hey, you know, I never saw a woman as beautiful as you, blah, blah, women are not, if they think I'm going to have sex with them, some of them are going to be offended. Gramps says it never happens.
I think they may just pass it off as, oh, this is silly.
Some
white
old guy.
Boy. Yeah, old guy. Where the others think, oh, wait a minute, he really wants me.
You know,
and that's, again, we're talking about, you know, 10 women out of the thousands that he's come across. He's done this.
Every woman he's ever seen
in his life. Yes.
You know, it's funny. Not Frank Perdue. Robbie, who was a former governor of Mayor Schaefer, Governor Schaefer.
Frank Perdue.
he made some sexual comment to some woman in a meeting when he was like 1 year before he retired. He was 80 something. Is he dead now, by the way, Schaefer?
I think he did die.
Got to be dead. If he isn't, he's 100 years old. So, and he got in trouble. But some people defended it like he's just an old man. You know what I mean? He comes from a different time and a different culture. So, I do think that he gets a pass. Right, he gets a pass. But one day, especially in this climate, Schaefer died in 2011. He's 90 when he died. He got a pass because he was old, but we are coming to a time where you don't get a pass for that anymore.
Right.
All this stuff that's going on right now. By the way, I'm not defending Gramps. You might not be able to talk to people that way.
Right.
Those days might be past. There are things that we used to be able to do that you go look back on and say, well, that was probably offensive.
Yeah.
So we don't do that anymore.
Sure.
And now I'm sure that my father will go kicking and screaming. He's not going to stop doing that regardless of how the climate changes. But I do think that there is a time coming where that's not going to be acceptable anymore. And it's close.
No, absolutely. Things that are acceptable is for you to join our Patreon. We just did a new bonus show. And there's some meat on that bone.
Yes.
I think I said this on the Patreon, but you're only going to hear it if you are a patron. But I'll say it on this show as well. It's no knock on the other shows who do, you know, paywall content.
Right.
But they're just doing, if they do 5 shows a week, they're just doing a 6th show.
Yes.
If you listen to the Rob and Joe Show Patreon, you are going to hear stuff that you will not hear anywhere else.
Yep.
And if you listen to the show, you'll know that it's very clear. You find out things that you cannot find out. Matter of fact, my closest confidants can't know what's on that. If they heard it, it would ruin things.
Yes.
I urge people, if you've never, ever thought to pay money for one of these shows, you got to pay to hear this last one. You have to hear it. It's a must.
Probably get in trouble now.
Yep. That's going to get someone to listen and then try to spoil everything. That'll make for a good episode afterwards talking about it, though. I was thinking about, you know, you... When I was gone, you had the show with Katie and the show with Justin, both home runs, in my opinion.
Bad boys, bad boys.
I'm wondering how the show would be different if it was me and Katie versus... Because it would be... Now, me and Justin would be a similar show to you and Justin.
Yeah, I think that if it's you and Katie...
You're just going to talk about Joe the whole time.
Yeah, you'd be asking questions about me.
Yes.
But we kind of did that too.
Yeah, but I think, maybe I could talk about the things that bother me that you do, like she did.
Yeah. No, go ahead. Let's hear them. What are they?
Okay. Wow. All right. Put me on the spot. It's nothing interesting, I don't think.
Well, let's hear. Maybe I'll get defensive and we'll get into a fight.
No, I do think sometimes we have a difference of opinion in the murder mystery and how important trying to hit murder mystery plot points is versus going off the rails and it being funny.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know that ever makes its way into the writing.
No.
But by the time, whether or not we agree or disagree, it's usually happening, so there's nothing we can do about it. But
like, let's just have a real conversation. Like, case in point, Winchester, Bright Box Theater,
yes.
2 sold-out shows. Thank you, Winchester. Be back June 16th. I've mentioned before, Eric has started doing this thing where he becomes not just on stage for the reveal, the final act, but has a mic, is saying things, is adding. And, he was doing it every show. And I think for the most part, in a positive way, overseas. And I think this is his first time. He did it with Christmas show with Justin. But I think Justin was a little like, what's happening the other night?
Yes.
At one point,
he took the microphone away from him.
Right.
Honestly, I'm hearing it for the first time, so I'm enjoying it. But you're right. I wouldn't argue that. But you and I are really on the same page there, because at the beginning of the show, I don't want to get too inside.
Right.
But we bring up Eric. He's a warm-up act. And the idea is that he's kind of unaware and naive.
Yes.
But he does this song. I wasn't expecting him to do it. I throw him off the stage. That's the idea. Now he does this thing where he goes up and he does like 5 minutes of crowd work. But that type of comfort doesn't really fit in terms of the storyline that we're creating. But he's doing well, so you let it happen. But I hate that. I hate that he does that. But whatever. I mean, the crowd is enjoying it. They probably don't think as deep into it as we do.
No.
That's not really going to match the person that you see later coming up, not knowing where the fucking dressing room is or where
right.
his bag is. This guy who's savvy enough to talk to the crowd for 5 minutes. But I hear what you're saying, but we're probably on the same page there. We probably are.
What do you think, Robbie?
I think it makes no difference.
You mean the crowd work at the beginning?
Ultimately, it makes no difference.
No, I don't. I think that probably doesn't.
And I said to Rob when I said I don't like him doing this, but I'm not going to say anything about it. So
just said it on the show that he listens to.
All right. Well, then let me say this to Eric since he's listening. Whatever. I mean, if he's enjoying himself, then that's
right.
Who cares? It doesn't. It's not like not like Scorsese. What I mean? It's not like, please don't compromise this great writing.
In his defense, you said in the late show that he was from Manassas, Virginia, so that caused people to yell out who live in Manassas, and then he sort of had to react to that.
Well, Justin shit on Manassas, Virginia earlier in the last show, and they liked it as some sort of yokel town that was.
Yes.
So that's why I just changed that he was from.
Oh, no, it makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
I think Front Row is the better reference.
I wish I knew.
Yeah, but now we know.
It's funny because I said this before I went out the first time. I go, what's a shitty city near here? And Eric goes, Arlington. I go, what? No, it's not. Arlington is cool.
Could have said Berryville, too.
Well, right, but Arlington is the last thing.
Right.
What's a bad city? I don't know. Austin, Texas.
Right. But this week we have two shows. You'll get to see Eric do his thing in the final act again. Magoobie's Joke House, Valentine's Day, Wednesday night.
Yeah. Katie's mentioned like 4 times how thrilled she is that we do a murder mystery every major holiday.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Valentine's Day is always shot because we have to do our murder mysteries on Valentine's Day. It's a payday. We can't really. Our Valentine's Day just. By the way, it's a greeting card holiday. It's not like a big. We'll just do it the day before, the day after.
We're going out tomorrow night, Tuesday night.
It's not a big deal. But then we talked about writing a murder mystery for New Year's. And she's like, what the fuck? We're going to write one for Christmas and Thanksgiving, and I don't get to be with my family. But, those are days we make money. We got to do it.
Hey, I'm hauling my ass out to Timonium, and that's actually my anniversary. our 5 years.
Oh, wow.
First of all, you don't have an anniversary to somebody you're dating. I don't know what you're talking about. That's not okay. An anniversary.
We celebrate it nonetheless.
All right.
What
well,
are
congratulations.
You? Okay. Well, apparently you're celebrating by coming to the murder mystery she's seen 9 times.
No, she's not coming to the murder mystery, but we're going to be celebrating the following weekend.
Buffet. Okay,
wait a minute. So you're celebrating your 5-year anniversary 10 days after it? I mean, this is of a relationship anniversary.
4 days after.
Oh, I thought you said.
Well, it's pretend anyway, so.
All right. What do you do for your 5-year girlfriend relationship?
We're going to go to Old Town Alexandria. We're going to eat at the Black Wall Hitch. We're going to get ourselves a couple's massage. We're going to stay in a big suite.
Jeez.
In Old Town.
Wow. You could have come down to VA Beach and come to our murder mystery on Sunday, but the sound booth is too small.
Isn't the 5th anniversary the anal anniversary?
Jeez.
Marcus Serta.
Good God.
Coming out of the gates. I think Marcus, he's coming like Eric, where he just, you know, he just starts being dirtier and dirtier. You know, he's really getting a lot of confidence since he broke that Super Bowl story.
Back to Eric is talking on stage. He's on stage. He does this thing where he goes, "Ooh, you're guilty, motherfucker," whatever. Yeah. So he does that, and he does it way funnier than I just did it. But then he did it twice. Did you notice that? He said, "You're guilty, motherfucker," something like that, 2 times.
Yeah.
You got that. I laughed both times, so yes. I do love it.
So did
well, I. My thing is, look, if you... This could make it funnier, but it would require you and Justin to speak beforehand and go over some things and maybe even rehearse and practice to get the timing down.
Well, neither one of them are going to do
that. Exactly. So that's my issue. It's like you can't give the big reveal and then Eric is moving his fake penis from one side to the other and everyone's looking at that and it's just like,
yeah, it is a little distracting, but I like it anyway.
Yeah, but I mean, there's a way to make it both work, but that would require work. And that's where that's why Katie had that other, she had a great idea about a murder mystery. And as I was, she was saying it, I was thinking, yeah, but our cast can't do that.
No.
This is going to take some real effort, nor can we write that. That's some advanced shit.
Yes. And then we're like, all right, we got to get everybody to a rehearsal. There has to be timing in between during the dialogue. The only people who ever have a time where they argue with one another is me and you.
And we nail it.
We do.
we never rehearsed it once. We just were natural at yelling at
Jim Amato and Chad just took a nice shit on Marcus for saying nothing the whole show, but yet a half an hour in, he decides to mention anal and go right back into saying nothing.
Yeah. That's good job, Marcus. At least it's not as offensive as that once you go white, you'll still be tight t-shirts.
Yes, clearly his wife's at 3 levels up in the house.
So I was, you know, we do these dumb hypotheticals. I was just thinking about this the other day. I don't know how it came up, but what do you think is weirder? You're a girl, you go, you spend the night at a guy's house. It's the first time. You have sex. It's great. And then he insists on sleeping with his head at the end of the bed and his feet where the pillow is. And you have to sleep normal. Or he does that thing where he sleeps, he's basically on his back with his legs straight up against the wall. So he's back like facing.
Oh, I see. His legs are up against the wall.
Yeah, so
he's laying down with his head all the way at the other end of the bed.
Right. He says, "Look, it's my back. I have to do this."
By the way,
are they both deal killers? I don't know.
There is no deal killer. You've already had sex.
In terms of her coming back.
I will say this. If I'm a guy, I don't know how girls think. Clearly, if I did, I wouldn't be in the mess that I'm in all the time.
Right.
But if let's say I met a girl.
Yeah.
We have sex. She says, "Hey, I have to sleep with my head at that end of the bed." I'd sleep at that end.
So you would sleep with her feet next to you?
No, I would.
No. She insists that you have to stay where you're at.
Oh. And then the other one is this person is sleeping with their feet up against the wall?
Yeah, they're facing, like, their head is facing same way backwards, and their legs are straight up against the wall, parallel with the wall.
They're laying in the bed. The other instance, their feet are on the wall.
Yes.
Clearly, the one with their feet on the wall.
But their head is closest to you. So you could look over and look at her and give her a kiss.
Yeah, but they're not going to be far enough up for you to do that. No, if their feet are on the wall, that's going to be way worse.
All right. What if they want to sleep standing up on the bed?
Well, you understand, we're guys. They can literally do anything. We wouldn't care. So if you're ever saying, what would I be more comfortable saying, I'm going to do this? It would be with my head at the other end of the bed.
If you're that guy. Okay.
Yeah. I'm definitely, if I said, hey, look, by the way, think about this. Sometimes you meet a girl, you have sex, you want to leave. If you can say, hey, listen, this might be a little awkward. I can leave, but I sleep standing up. So if that's going to be weird, I get it, but I have to sleep standing up. If you want, I can just hop in my car and I can roll.
What if the girl wants to sleep standing up, but her legs, she's standing over you. She's standing over you, like her legs are...
Like her legs are straddling you?
Yes.
I mean, there's no way I could fall asleep with that. I could not fall asleep with that happening.
She's like, look, I feel protective of you, and that puts me at ease, and
I don't even think I could fall asleep with someone standing in the room. Could you... We're in Winchester. We decide to stay. We have two double beds. Okay?
Okay.
And I go, hey, you can just sleep in the other bed. It's no big deal. And you sleep in the same room that Katie and I are in, and then we just start having sex.
Right.
What do you do?
I mean, I probably say something like, oh, all right, I guess this is happening.
if it was the other way around, I'm laying in the bed and you and Tawana are having sex, I literally would just like put the cover over my head, and I'd still try to get a little, you know, peek.
Well, you're gonna look a little bit.
Yeah,
right?
I'm gonna try to, but if it's dark, you know, I don't have good eyes anyway. I probably couldn't see, but I would definitely try to peek. But I would try to pretend like I was respecting your privacy. But afterwards, I'd be like, dude, that's what the, you couldn't wait.
I would hope one of you would record on your phone.
That's what Robbie would do. Of course he would.
Marcus would yell anal.
Is that what you're going to do, missionary? Boo!
YouTube. Screw that.
So, all right. But if you really did that, I would have to think you were doing that on purpose. Like, it's not like you two were drunk and you could forget I'm there. It's not something you two would do.
Yeah, no, clearly if we're doing that, we're doing that on purpose. Would you think that we wanted you to join? The devil's threesome.
Okay, what if you do that and I just start pleasuring myself?
Yeah, now I'm in this scenario. I've decided to fuck in front of you.
Now I turn the lights on and I start pleasuring myself.
And I'm like, dude, have some respect.
Just keep trying to one up each other with weirdness.
If I'm okay, you're having sex. Imagine yourself having sex. In this scenario, you're single, and the chick from Deadpool. What's her name?
What the hell is her name?
Marina Baccarin.
That's it.
Whatever.
Like that.
Yes. Yeah. So she's like, hey, and you hook up with her, and you say, hey, I'm staying in this room. Do you mind? She says no, and then you are now having sex with this woman.
Yeah.
Okay. Then I decide I'm going to go sit over there and jerk off on the bed. Can you come? Can you get to the end?
I think I can, because with her, I'm feeling like, look, you get to see this too. I mean,
I'm telling you right now.
I think so. I think I can block that out.
If I'm having sex with Katie and you're in the corner jerking off, I would never be able to get to the end. I wouldn't.
Well, she'd be done immediately. I mean, she'd be.
Yes, she's just a river.
All right. What if we're rooming together, no girls? And I just start pleasuring myself.
I'd be like, dude, are you fucking kidding me?
I pull out a phone.
I'd be like, can you at least go into the bathroom? Or I'd be like, look, can I go into the bathroom and play solitaire till you're done? And then you let me know when it's over.
All right. What if I'm pleasuring myself, but it's just to the episode of you and Katie on the Robin Joe Show?
Yeah. What is the, you walk in, not kids or anything like that, but what's the one thing you can't get past that I'm jerking off to? What if I'm just watching an episode of Gilligan's Island? You're fine?
Yeah, I'm fine.
What if I'm watching Schindler's List? You're fine?
Well, now I think it's funny. I think I'm going to be fine with anything. I think I'm going to be curious. Now, that interests me more. If it's just porn, I'm like, whatever. But now, if it's...
What if it's chopped? You know, it's weird. People will always make these references where, you know, some college just signed an athlete and I just came or my right. pants are tightening or whatever. Have we talked about this before? I don't believe that I can get sexually excited about anything other than the idea of having sex with a woman.
Right. Yeah.
Nothing else.
No, I mean, you get excited over it, but that's a different kind of excitement.
No, but I can't get sexually excited thinking about anything, not food, not sports. What about you guys? What about Marcus, the resident perv?
Well, I can work it out one way or the other.
If you're thinking about, I know you love whiskey, right? Is that your favorite drink?
Yeah, absolutely.
But what if everything that you really liked and looked forward to made you want to masturbate?
It does.
Oh, Homeland starts tonight. Oh, Game of Thrones. Oh my God. This is a Taco Bell has French fries, and you're just constantly getting aroused. Panther's coming out.
No, that would. Well, I can't wait to see Black Panther. Yes. But no, that would be horrible, right?
It would be horrible.
Yeah, no,
yes.
You don't want that.
No.
Sounds like Marcus's life.
Yeah, the Redskins, the Orioles get a home run. You know, they're down 7-1 now, and you're excited. You know,
I've definitely had my excitement turn into that kind of excitement before. Yes, not sexual excitement, but like regular excitement has turned into excitement.
Like what? What got you excited?
I can't
enough?
Think of an example, but I know it's happened. So, it's happened recently.
Hold on. So like Letterman came out with a Netflix special or whatever, and you found out about that, and then as a result, you went into the bathroom and started running the water. Is that what you're saying?
No. I'm not saying that I actually took care of business. I'm just saying that I actually felt myself getting aroused. That's all.
Seriously?
Jeez.
You found, like, sexually aroused from the excitement of Letterman?
No, not Letterman, but it wasn't that. It was like...
You discovered a new font.
I saw...
Times Old Roman?
I heard some music and maybe I made an association that I'm not consciously aware of. You know, that kind of thing.
And your dick gets hard?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Wow.
Like I was a teenager. It happens every once. Not often, but it does happen.
Well, does it happen once a month?
No, maybe once every 3 months.
Still a lot. 4 times a year.
Yeah.
Your dick's getting hard over a fucking chocolate cupcake.
Yeah, that seems bizarre. Like, I really like this new logo I came up with, our murder mystery.
Yeah, how many of the things that make your dick hard, Robbie, are things that you did?
That's probably a good percentage. When I get a good reaction from something I've created.
Did we just lose Robbie?
Sounds like it. Marcus. Maybe he got so excited the show's going so well.
If you're
take
in,
care of himself.
If you're in chat and you can hear us talking, will you type? Jim Amato said he can hear us. I wonder if we're still recording. We're still recording. Let's just finish
just
the show.
Keep going, yeah. Finally, Robbie's gone. He can't hear us. This is our dream scenario.
Man.
You know what? I just got aroused.
This is the best thing that's ever happened. Oh, my God. Give me a few minutes.
I can't believe he's saying that something has happened. The Eagles are going on tour. They're getting reunited, and he's getting aroused.
No, that sounds exactly like the kind of thing that, although if Robbie finds out that the wrong person is filling in for the dead Glenn Frey, he loses his boner right away.
That's the real question. Could he, in the throes of passion, hear something like that that would ruin the mood?
Well, yeah, I mean, that anybody can do that.
He's having sex.
If you were having sex and you found out that Prince died, you wouldn't be able to finish.
No, that's true. Okay, but let's something less extreme. He's having sex. The TV's on. A commercial for Big Lebowski comes on. He immediately goes to the scene about the Eagles. Does that take him out of it?
Yeah. If he's getting physically aroused, which, by the way, it's so fucking weird, right?
Yes.
If he is physically getting aroused because of something that doesn't involve a vagina or boobs or an ass, then, yeah, clearly the Big Lebowski can prevent that from happening. Pool Guy Mark and Gramps are saying they can still hear us, so let's just keep the show going.
There was a moment in the show in Abu Dhabi where right at the end of Act 2, Tommy and I are walking off stage, and I said to Tommy, dude, this is going really well. He goes, I know. And then right after that, he kicks the cord, and it comes out of the comes out of the wall. The whole thing shuts down.
How long did it take you guys to get going again?
Not that long. But for a second there, I was like, okay, well, there went everything.
Well, this is Robbie's worst nightmare because
yes.
I said when we have his mic up or his sound up, we hear this hiss, which Robbie swears that nobody else hears. Right. So that's fine. I said, okay. So I said, well, can I just turn your mic down? No. I mean, that was the suggestion of that, of having Robbie not be able to just chime in,
yeah,
was not, it couldn't happen. Not even while we try to fix this. And by the way, right now I hear none of that.
Yeah, it sounds
because
great.
Because he's, right, it sounds pristine. And that's, of course, because Robbie's not part. Now, I want him to be able to play the sound effects, but I'd like for it to be fixed, right?
Well, I feel like for what we spent on all that, that should be fixed. Robbie says he lost internet. He just texted me. So that means that's on his end. His internet is down.
Actually, Marcus is talking about coming down and tweaking the studio.
That's true. We could use that and some more anal jokes.
Can I tell you one thing that I don't like about the studio?
Yeah.
Is the springs on these. Because they make... No, listen.
Ew.
If you hit the table,
yeah,
I wouldn't mind that. Us having something else. There's got to be another technology for these, the arms for these mics that aren't so sound ruining.
Of course, there has to be. So I was thinking, because, you know, when we did the tour, they said, well, some of those bases are just going to do stand up. Do you have a name for those shows? And I just came up with this four headliners, and I hated that name. So I was trying to brainstorm basically stand up comedy tour for the troops. And this is one I hate.
Which one do you hate?
Operation, because right now there's Operation Enduring something is what's going on.
Operation Hilarity.
I said Operation Enduring Laughter.
Okay.
But the one I like, Comics Reporting for Duty.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. And then I thought of an image where you have a microphone and you're holding it up like you're saluting.
It looks more like it looks too much like a cock.
That's what I was going for, Joe. I was going for the cock joke.
Don't ask, don't tell.
I'm back.
He's back, baby.
Now, that recorded that whole time, right?
Yeah, you were recording on your end, so no problem.
It was gold.
Yes, you're going to want to use every moment of that.
Yeah.
By the way, you know what annoyed me a little bit when I went to do Eric's podcast yesterday?
Okay.
Their equipment's as good as ours. They have a board. I'm sure their board isn't. They don't have this Focusrite, but if I'm being honest, I don't know what that does. They clearly don't have the BrickLink. Nobody right. in the world has that. We're the only people.
Only people in the world.
But their mics, they had those. Marcus, what are those things that, like, you see singers singing into, those circular things that have, like a mesh on them? What are those?
Windscreens.
Yeah. They have those, so we need to get those.
And you
if they
think?
Have, yeah, I mean, their podcast sounds as good as ours.
Well, I don't want to hear that. This is Eric Wibbler's basement. They have as good a podcast sounding as we do.
Well, they put some money into it.
All right.
This is not nothing. They have one of these boards right here.
Okay.
They have four mics. All the mics have windscreens. They got arms for each of them. They're not as nice as ours, but they have them. Clearly, Eric has a computer down there that we have, you know, like we have. They don't have this BrickLink, but that's the thing we had to have so Robbie could play Katie saying Bad Boys. And then... They don't have this Focusrite, but again, I don't know what the Focusrite does.
Well, I was looking into, you know, potentially buying us investing in a sound equipment for our murder mystery.
Uh-huh.
So we can go to country clubs and places that aren't necessarily set up, you know, bring the whole operation. And if we asked, you know, Marcus, what do you think we should get for that? What do you think he's going to say we're going to need to spend?
So what do we need? We need a couple three microphones, right?
Yeah, we need, you know,
we need a speaker.
We need a mixer.
Wireless.
Yeah, wireless, I think, would be important.
We need a mixer.
Yeah.
That's it, right? Do you want to have screens for, like, people to be able to sing karaoke from or for us to play videos
from?
Well,
we need to get that for this next show regardless, so. Probably need to buy that for rehearsal, actually. But that's, you know, you can get that $100 or something.
Okay. What are we getting? We're getting a, what do you call this?
A monitor?
Yeah, we're getting a monitor that has a...
Well, we can get a monitor or a TV. I don't know what's the difference.
I don't know, $5,000?
No.
I'm just kidding.
You can get a...
No, I was doing my Marcus. My Marcus price.
Probably $150, a cheap TV.
Those speakers are expensive, right?
Well, I've seen like $500 sound system. I've seen like $1,500. So I don't know. You know, we don't want to get the cheapest, but Marcus seems like he would tell us that there's some Bose thing. It's going to,
for live performances, I know people who can tell us what to get for live.
No, Marcus does a lot of live performances with that voice.
Yeah, have you ever heard him talk? Didn't you hear him say anal 20 minutes ago?
I do a lot of live performance with community theaters in the area.
There you go.
Marcus, have you done community theater?
Yes.
What? You talked about it.
I performed actually with my wife. She had the lead role in Calendar Girls.
What? Give me the premise.
Her husband.
Give me the premise of this movie. I mean, this play.
It is set in England, and it's some old ladies who are faced with one of their women friends faced with cancer, and they put together a calendar.
That's hilarious.
Sorry. One of the women's husbands dies of cancer. I believe it's leukemia.
Comedy?
They put a calendar together to raise money for research to fight cancer.
That's the premise of a play? Jeez.
It was a movie.
Well, the dramatic piece of it is the calendar for these women, they get naked. It is a famous movie. It is a very famous story, and it's a real story. So it's
Wait, did your wife get naked on stage?
Yes.
Oh.
She did?
Yes, wow. Along with five other ladies.
Newsflash.
Well, hold on. Now, yeah, things have just gotten more interesting. So, what did she show?
Everything.
She showed her vagina?
She did not have anything on. She had, because if you have seen the movie and the play works the same way, it's about positioning props in front of the body parts. So, she has to be completely naked, and then the props get placed right in front of nipples and vajayjay. She has to be naked behind it.
She walked out on stage, and what did they put in front of her?
What did she have? Did she have the cupcakes? I think she had the cupcakes. Yeah, she had cupcakes.
Covering her nips and her vagina?
She had very large cupcakes.
How long is she standing up there naked?
About 30, 45 seconds. Not very long.
Is it cold in there?
Basically, drop the robe.
Right.
Have that immediate moment. What happens is the photographer takes a picture, and then the robe comes, or the lights go down, or the robe came on. I can't remember how it was lit up.
And what is this called?
Calendar Girls.
This you know is... what? I got an idea, Joe. That's our next murder mystery.
So this is a community theater.
Yes, yeah, so the Shelburne
kind of
Flair
fucking
Slow communities theater,
you live
and they
in.
Took
Asking
on the story
lot.
Because I believe it was a Cancer Awareness Month.
Good
and
God.
So they took it on. The director happened to be a cancer survivor, but it's a very famous movie. The role that my wife played was the same role that
who played it in the movie? Helen Mirren.
Yeah.
Is your wife a good actress?
I do remember that trailer for that, because Helen Mirren gets naked all the time.
Yeah. Is she a good actress, your wife? Well, he's going to say yes no matter what. I can't. Yeah, it's a bad question.
She truly is. She's very funny. She's since she moved to Vermont, she has consistently been in one production after another, and she loves comedies, and she loves doing pratfalls, and she likes the farces because of the fact that it allows her a lot of physical comedy as mm-hmm. well as really great line delivery.
Have you worked any of those scenes into your lovemaking? So who has leukemia? Really? There's cupcakes and nudity? With your British accent?
Did you do a British accent, Marcus?
She did. I did not.
Wait, are you supposed to be British?
I am supposed to be British, but as I acknowledged to them, that was not my skill set.
Yeah, but they catch you anyway. Well, you're the only...
She took her clothes off. She's not a professional stripper.
Yes, you couldn't say mate? Come on.
Well, look, I used the lingo, but I didn't put on the accent to accentuate it. It just didn't work. Because I can't do that. It's not, again, it's not my skill set. I can't do... accents.
How many people were auditioning for this role where you would refuse to do the accent necessary to play it?
It's one of five.
I think one of these girls could have just said, I'm not getting naked. This asshole said he wouldn't do an accent. And they said, okay.
Yeah, I got to show my vagina. He can't even say, can't even think of any other British words.
the loo.
Two up front, they had to get naked and they all agreed. And we went through the performance. We went through the rehearsals and we waited until probably about 2 weeks before we actually put it up on stage that we did a full rehearsal where people actually got naked.
All right. Rear. Don't answer this, but Joe, let's guess. The director of this play, straight man, straight woman, gay woman. What do you think?
All right. So I'm going to give you the percentages. Gay man is at about 35.
Yep.
Straight man and straight woman, 25. The remaining 15 goes to gay woman.
Okay. I think straight woman is more likely than straight man.
Yeah, you know, because of the subject matter?
Yes.
Okay.
Marcus?
It was a straight woman.
Okay.
Good job. I gave it a 25%, so.
Well, the hottest of these women naked, what would you say?
Well, other than your wife, yes. Other than his wife.
But what would you say they were on a 1 to 10 scale?
2.
Jesus, jeez. Robbie.
Robbie's such a dick.
God.
I 4.
Oh, God.
You were close.
Jeez. I mean, can't you even lie, Marcus, for theater of the mind? God.
It's my wife. These are all women in their 50s, and they obviously have not aged well.
Jeez, it's not obvious to me until you said it.
Yeah. Well, good for them. Did the audience know when they showed up?
Were they groaning? Like, oh, God. Put it back on.
Gee, I wish I got cancer.
Don't you have another cantaloupe to cover up that shit?
I want my money back.
Why bring the back props that guy are with there so that, you know, you don't see everything.
Was there anybody sitting on the side of the stage that got to see more?
Yeah, that was me.
Did you see every woman's nips?
Yes.
Were there any of them that were kind of hanging maybe 6-7 inches lower than they should?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Jeez. I mean,
there were some that, I think the waistline was higher.
Do you ever pull your penis out to make everybody feel more comfortable?
With a British accent.
Wife offered that up to the cast, but I did not do that.
Maybe your wife can audition for Michael Chamberlain.
Yeah, if she's that good. You know, I was thinking Marcus, was he considered for the Darkest Hour before they found out he couldn't do a British accent? They went with Gary Oldman. Sorry, Marcus.
If needed a female actor to perform, she would be excellent. She can do anything. She's extremely funny. She can improv. As a matter of fact, she participated Second City when she used to live in Chicago.
You know what I know she doesn't like is Once You Go White, You'll Still Be Tight.
She doesn't like that one.
So we're still on the fence about her.
Yep.
No, I'm sure she's very funny. We do need women for the murder mystery, but we have yet to be booked in Vermont. If you can get us a gig.
Yeah, we'll put her in the show. We'll give her a nice, juicy role. She can keep her clothes on. We're not animals.
We're not like this straight chick who's making everybody take their clothes off.
God, I mean, that seems, for community theater, it seems like you're asking a lot.
Seriously. It's like, really? I thought we were going to do Hello, Dolly.
Yeah. Remember when Harry Potter got naked in the play and that was like a big deal?
Yes, not in Vermont.
No.
If you have your clothes on, it's a big deal.
Right.
Equus.
There is a significant community theater community here. So there is a lot of performances happening all the time. And so.
And people are getting naked in every one of them.
Isn't enough content to go around. There's a very strong experimental theater community here.
I don't even know what that means. What are they experimenting in?
So playwrights will write material, and they need to perform it. So they will perform this stuff. They did one probably about 2 years ago. I took on a new client, and the clients and I got a whisper from a friend of mine. It says, as soon as you start working with this client, you're going to see your tits. And
what?
I'm like, okay, whatever. So about a month after I started working with this client, I saw her tits because she was in this experimental theater and they were performing. It was this Roman forum and all the Romans had their tits out because they were getting ready to do this giant Roman orgy.
Oh, nice. Can we get our murder mystery booked as one of these experimental theaters?
I can get you a space up here. That's not a problem. That's the easy part.
They don't make any money, do they?
I don't know of anybody doing this, so it would be different for this community, but we can make it happen.
Hey, Robbie, you think Mike Chamberlain has ever directed a play where there was nudity?
Yes.
Male and female?
I'm not sure about that, but I'll bet you there was some nudity in one of his shows.
So female more likely, you thinking, or male more likely?
Male more likely.
You know how Chamberlain is.
He insisted on male nudity.
Put those fun this bags
is,
away,
this
ladies.
This is death of a salesman. Sorry.
Well, what a weird show, but we'll take it, right?
Yeah, no, I had fun. I always find out some weird shit about Marcus near the end. Yeah. So if you're a listener, if you want to hear the strangest things that we talk about, you got to listen to the very end.
Yep.
That's when Marcus reveals something. Actually, Robbie, I think, revealed the strangest thing today when he said his dick gets hard when he hears a good song.
Yeah, when you were gone, Robbie, I asked if you and the missus were making love with the TV on, and in the midst of it, a commercial promoting The Big Lebowski came on. Would that take you out of your stroke?
Well, I would never have the TV on, but it probably would not have any effect on me.
Well, let's find out.
Hey, I didn't look at it, but there was clickbait, and it said, most movies that Oscar overlooked, and there was a picture of the dude. So meaning whatever was in that article, The Big Lebowski was one of the movies mentioned.
Robbie didn't want to hear the way to ruin the show for
hey,
Robbie.
Hey, you know that my oldest son took a class on, it was a film class, and it was all about the Coen brothers.
And how much the Eagles suck.
And they ended on The Big Lebowski.
Nice. That's pretty cool. Yeah. Come out to Magoobies Wednesday. Spend your Valentine's Day with us, solving a murder, the newly dead game, and then VA Beach will be there Sunday night, back to the 80s. DieLaughingProductions.com. The bonus show just recorded should be out this week. Look for that, patrons. And again, you might want to, this might be the time to pony up the $5.
Yeah, this one's worth it.
Thank you, Marcus. Thank you, Robbie. Thank you, Joe. See you next week.
See ya.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.